So would you bow your heads with me? Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I don't know if you remember this one, but the first one that I could find was from several years ago in the Chicago Tribune. They carried a story about an amazing tortilla. The New Mexico woman was making tortillas when she noticed that the skillet marks on the tortilla looked like Jesus. She showed it to her husband and to her neighbors, and they all agreed that Jesus' face was burnt into the tortilla. So she took the tortilla and had it blessed by her priest, who I think did it reluctantly. She testified that the tortilla had changed her life, and her husband agreed that she had been a happier, more peaceful, and submissive wife since the tortilla had arrived. Well, after this poor reluctant priest blessed the tortilla, she took it home, and you can see she put it in a glass case and with piles of cotton to make it look like it was floating on clouds. And she built an altar for it and opened the shrine to visitors. And within a few months, more than 8,000 people made pilgrimages to worship Jesus of the tortilla. Everybody agreed that the burnt marks on the tortilla looked like Jesus, except one anti-religious newspaper reporter who thought it looked more like former heavyweight boxer Leon Spinks. Oh my gosh, why does nothing surprise us anymore? It's so ridiculous that we kind of laugh about it. It's kind of silly, staring at tortilla shells. But how many of us stare at our phones all the time, over and over? How many of us stare at our portfolios, our computer screens? How many of us stare at things that are going to tell us about our favorite singers, about our favorite celebrities, or our favorite sports personalities? How many of us stare at other people that way? The TV, our hobbies, ourselves, over and over and over. And we check it again, and we check it again. How does this happen? Why does this happen? It happens because we don't understand ourselves. We were designed to worship. Everyone in the world worships. Anthropologists agree. Every culture in the world worships. No matter how much money you have, how much you don't have, how much brain you have, how many opportunities you have, how many opportunities you don't have, you were designed by God to worship. We can't help but worship. The problem is some of us have some really bad gods. And when we go there, we are the losers. And the Lord God in 2016 wants to deliver us from all of that. Your number one and my number one purpose in life is to worship God. Is to worship God. And that doesn't just mean on Sunday mornings, as Denise pointed out to us. Jesus said the most important thing in life, and that's our theme for this year, foundations. Jesus said this, love the Lord your God. This is the first and greatest commandment. That's worship. Notice Jesus says nothing about being in or at church. Probably the best verse that defines worship, your very first purpose is in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I want to read this together out loud. Would you read this with me? Ready? Because of God's great mercy to us, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. This is the true worship that you should offer. It's pleasing to God. Your first purpose in life, the reason God designed you, is because you were planned for his pleasure. You need to know just as you are pleasing to the Lord. You are pleasing to God. When that voice inside you is beating you up, when the people around you are like, meh, you need to remember you are pleasing to God. just as you are. Now, the fact that Paul, when he writes the Christ followers in Rome, says, offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. Remember, that meant on the altar. And the problem is if you're a living sacrifice, it means you can crawl off that altar. And you can fall for all other altars that are out there. But God gives us today worship. And he gives it to us today. He gives you your next breath. So how will you fill your day, your next moment? How you do is your worship. Worship is my response to God's love. God doesn't ever ask you to make the first move. He always makes it. And when it's God who receives our worship, we bring pleasure to him. You know, some of us, I think, are so messed up because we're worshiping something other than God. That's what false worship leads to. And in 2016, what if we were to worship in spirit and truth the living God revealed in Jesus Christ? What would that look like, and how would that transform our lives? What if this year we led our kids to do the same? So, if our goal is to give back to God, what do you give the guy who has everything? There's nothing we could give God that he doesn't have, or maybe that's not true. Because you can give him your love. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first foundation we are looking at, the great commandment given by Jesus. And he's simply quoting the Hebrew Scriptures. God wants us, we see in this verse, to love him in three ways. First, God wants me to love him thoughtfully. Love him with your mind, thoughtfully. In other words, he wants you to think it through. And one of the things I love about this church is you don't leave your brains at the door. Although there are days. Love God with your mind. What are you feeding your mind? Second, God wants me to love him passionately. He says, with all your heart and with all your soul. God says, I want you to love me passionately because I passionately love you. And then third, God says, I want you to love me practically. This isn't just go up on a mountain and meditate kind of religion. This is loving God practically. Love me with all your strength, with all your abilities. Because God is some kind of egomaniac saying, love me, love me, love me. No. Because God knows the best thing that could happen to you and to me is that we would love God passionately and not the other garbage that we fall for. Love God with all your strength, with your abilities. And even though God created the entire universe and he created you, there are three things that God does not have unless you give them to him. He doesn't have your attention unless you give God your attention. That's loving God with your mind. I don't know if you remember Psychology 101. I remember there's a little graph, and this was yourself, and there was this one little line that had an arrow on it. That was your attention. It was like an antenna, and it can only go to one thing at a time. Women, I think, sometimes might have two antennas, but your attention can't go to everything on your plate. So will you or will you not give God your attention? Do we regularly point our antenna enough to God? Worship is focusing your attention on God wherever you are. Another one, God doesn't have your affection unless you give it to him. That's loving God with your heart and your soul. You do that and the rest of your affection will honor God too. And then third, God doesn't have your ability unless you give it to him. That's loving God with your strength. The strength applied to this congregation, to the ministries around the world, has changed the world. And you get to be a part of that when you give God your strength. There are people who literally sweat blood and tears went into the building of this church that could be a spiritual home for people who could learn about God and go out and change the world. That's loving God with your ability, which God does not have unless you offer it to him. That's worship. And the scary thing is, if God doesn't have your attention, your affection, or your abilities, it means something else does. Something else has you. And as Catherine's saying, we can be in better hands if we're not placing those in God's hands. So we are placing ourselves in the hands of something or someone else. And that's the worst sin that we could commit. You are way too valuable to place your precious life into the hands of anything but your Creator God. You see, God doesn't want worship to just be a church thing on Sunday mornings. He wants it to be your whole life, to worship God with your life. I want to share with you someone who is worshiping God with his life. And it's a friend of our congregation from Saginaw who has fought this battle himself. The score has introduced Andre to many of us. And Andre and his lovely wife Kendra spoke at Youth Encounter Weekend last summer, a year and a half ago. And Andre's written a book about his insights into life. And it's at our bookstore this morning that we asked him to bring this book. And Andre is going to be doing a book signing afterward and would love for you to pick up his book. It's worth it even just to read about what happened in the bathroom and what happened on, was it Stewart Street? Stewart Street on the sidewalk. So Andre, would you come and just share with us?
Thank you, sir. Would you please help me celebrate Pastor Matt today?
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you so much. It is good to have you here.
I love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, hello, everybody. Nice weather we're having. I want to thank God for Dr. Hook for inviting us to come and letting us share with you. I want to also celebrate my beautiful wife on today. I love you, and I thank all my people who came with me, the Sakura family. This church has been a great friend to us, and we thank God for you. But we're going to jump right in, if that's okay. For a minute, I want to talk about purpose. Purpose is probably my favorite word in the dictionary. Purpose is the reason for which you were born. Purpose is what gets you out of the bed. Purpose is what drives you. Purpose is what carries you when you don't feel like it. Purpose is what brings you to church in a snowstorm. Purpose is what keeps you married when the new car smell goes away. Purpose is what drives you when your body and your circumstances and your bills say something different. Now, everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a specific assignment, but maybe we can talk about that later. Today, I want to talk about the second purpose that everybody has, and that's to worship God. Worship is so important. Pastor Matt gave you some great definitions earlier. What I want to talk to you about right now is what I consider the most important definition of worship, and that's intimacy with God. Now, marriage is a type and shadow of Christ's relationship with the church, okay? So as we talk about the church and Christ, I want you to think about your marriage. How many couples do we have in here? Raise your hand if you're married. Whoa, that's everybody just about. I've been married for 12 beautiful years. Mark and Tamika, wave your hand real quick. They're newlyweds. They've just been married for 4 months. Rico and Kiana, you've been married for how long? 8 years. Tracy, how long have you been married?
21 years.
21 years, all right. Pastor Matt, how long have you been married?
24.
Wow, okay. Marriage is awesome. But worship is intimacy with God, and just like your spouse, there are some things that are exclusive to your spouse. We can have a conversation with our children just like we have with our spouse. We can go to dinner with our in-laws just like we go to dinner with our husband or wife. But physical intimacy is something that was meant to be exclusive, just between a husband and wife. Nobody else is meant to know what that physical intimacy is but your spouse. There's a level of closeness that a spouse has that only a spouse can understand. And that's the same level of worship that God desires with us. God desires such an intimacy with you that it's nothing like the way you talk to your wife. It's nothing like the way you talk to your children. God wants you to commune with him on such a deep level that only you and him can understand together. When we begin to break the intimacy with our spouse, we find ourselves in trouble. We find our marriage in trouble when we begin talking to other people about things we only should be talking to our spouse about. There are some things that only God can help you with. I don't care how much you talk to your mom. I don't care how much you share with your best friend. There are some answers that only God can give you. I asked myself as a child. I was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy at the age of 3. And I asked myself, why am I in a wheelchair? Why me? What did I do? I wasn't shot in some gang fight. I didn't do something to my body to cause this. I was born this way. And I asked God that question Pastor Matt talked about in that bathroom experience. And I would go in the bathroom and I would cry, and I would cry every day with my father. And he would hold me, and he would try to help me to understand why my body didn't function the way everybody else's did. And I found out that my father didn't have an answer. Although he was a pastor. Pastors don't know it all, do we? Although I went to doctors, they gave me a medical reason for my situation, but no real answer to why it happened to me and not the next kid. The only answer I could get was from God. All I could do was go in the bathroom and throw my hands up and begin to worship the Lord and say, God, despite what's going on, I love you. I still worship you. I still adore you. Even though my body seems to betray me, God, I still give you the best part of me. I still give you all I have because you're worthy to be praised. There are some things that people can't answer, but there are answers in worship. The Bible says that in his presence, there is fullness of joy. Joy is different than being happy. Happiness comes and goes. Happiness comes and goes based on what kind of car you have. Happiness comes and goes based on what kind of car you have. Happiness comes and goes based on whether your boyfriend broke up with you last week. But joy is based on what you know. And what I know is that God loves me. What I know is that God has my back. What I know is that God, throughout all of my situations, God sent me here for a purpose. God didn't put me in the wheelchair, but he wants to use my wheelchair for his glory. Whatever your circumstances, God didn't create it, but God wants to use it. And God wants you to give him worship despite your situation. How many of you can raise your hand and say, right now you have a problem? If you have a problem, raise your hand. Well, that's just about everybody, right? The difference between worshipers and non-worshipers, though, is that worshipers worship God through their problems. We don't have an off switch. A worshiper doesn't stop when times get bad. A worshiper doesn't stop when things don't go their way. Worshipers have and have a motor on the inside that's always on, that's always running, because God created you for that. The Bible says that God seeks worshipers, which means that everybody is not one. If God is seeking us out, then everybody must not be one. In 2016, I want you to guarantee yourself a favor. Do yourself a favor. That you're going to worship God with everything you have this year. That you're going to give God the best of your worship. Now, what do I mean by that? Sometimes we give God our sloppy seconds. Sometimes we give God what we have left over. After we've spent time with our friends, after we've spent time with our family, after we've done other things, we give God the leftovers of what we have. But we're supposed to give God our first fruits, the best of who we are, the top of our energy. Pastor Matt gave a great scripture about presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. You may not be able to run around and jump through hoops, but if you can lift your hand and say, Lord, I thank you. If you can open up your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. If you can just shake in your chair and move your body and let God know how much you appreciate him, that's what God wants. The ability to overcome your obstacle and still get to Christ. That's what God wants from us. God is tired of the stop signs. He's tired of the red lights. He wants us to press past our issues and come to him with a ferocity that says, Lord, no matter what, I want you. I love you. All of you that were married, how many of you love it when your spouse goes out the way to do something special for you? Does it feel good? Ladies, on anniversary day, when your husband does something extraordinary to prove to you how much he loves you, it feels great, right? How much more do you think God wants our worship from us? God wants the best part of you. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. He already done more for you than you could ever do for him. But what I'm asking you today is to press past yourself. Press past your feelings are fickle things. Some days we feel like worshiping God. Some days we don't feel like worshiping God. Nobody felt like coming to church today, I'm sure. But worship is not about feelings. It's about loving God because he first loved us. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Andre can bring it, can he? You know, I was driving to Linda's folks' funeral yesterday, and Don Northrup said, we were talking about how much our lives have changed in the last 10 years. And rereading this book has been really good for us. And she said, but you know, it didn't happen overnight that my faith grew.
Right.
So that when, you know, when Rick was looking for work, when things were happening, and I agreed with her, and I knew what she meant. She meant over these years. But you know what? There was one night where it happened. Where it did happen in one night that I decided I'm not going to just go back to my old pattern. I'm not going to just despair the way that I used to. That I'm not going to go back to whatever my fix was. But instead, I'm going to trust you, God. That did happen one day or one night. And there's a moment in time for you if it hasn't happened yet. And so I just want to close our time as we reflect on worship that God designed you for. And then we will sing a couple verses of our closing hymn. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we thank you so much that you are worthy of our worship. We thank you so much, Lord, that you have offered yourself to us. and called us to offer our love back to you. God, help us to love you with our minds. Help us, Lord, to love you with our hearts. Help us to love you with our strength. Lord, we are so grateful that you bring people into our lives who speak your truth. Lord, we lift up Andre to you. We ask that you would continue to walk with him, to be with him, to bless him. Thank you, God, for his message, for his purpose, and for mine, and for each one of our purposes, Lord. Let us seek you as we live those out. God, for those who have never put their trust in you, Lord, we pray that it would happen overnight or even right now, and that we would realize we weren't created just for the stuff that everybody else tells us, but for what you have told us about. God, for those of us who have been traveling with you through life for a long time, knowing you, Lord, things get in the way. We hold up stop signs. Lord, let us lay those down. Let us set aside the things that took your place and get back to worshiping you with all that we have. Thank you for this opportunity in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.